Please stand. Temptation surrounds us at every turn, inviting us to take just a little more. More food, more money, more power, more life. What could it hurt? We hear on television, from friends, in our own souls. More suffering, more hunger, more need, more anger. So we gather today in worship to hear the consequences of more. Beloved of God, let us drink deeply from the wellspring of God's Spirit that has all we need to live fully, love deeply, and serve faithfully. God, you are our hiding place and our refuge in the time of distress. We turn to you now, seeking comfort from the wounds of the world and power to face all our afflictions. Be present in our struggle and help us to rest in your eternal promises, that we may be fed both with the bread of the world and the nourishment of your word, strong to resist temptation, and faithful in our worship of you. The grace of Jesus, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Creative, passionate God, you delight to shape the world in beauty and in harmony. You invite us to participate in the balance of creation. We grow in wisdom as our experience unfolds. We take good learning out of difficult situations, yet also find our well-meant endeavors leading to unintended consequences. Too often we give in to temptation that disrupts the joyous, chaotic order of the universe. We cannot undo all our mistakes, but we can turn once more to the living presence of Jesus and find new ways to live and love each other and the earth. Do not let our hearts be fearful. Let us in silence acknowledge our sin. Even as Adam and Eve faced the consequences of their sin, our God prepared a way for them still to be connected to the earth and to the living presence of God. So it is with all of us. In Christ's life, ministry, death, and resurrection, we are made able to persist, upright and strong, for our sins are forgiven. Thanks be to God. In you, God Almighty, we have our preservation and our bliss. In you, Christ, we have our restoring and our saving. You are our mother, brother, and savior. In you, O Lord, the Holy Spirit, is marvelous and plenteous grace. You are our clothing, for love you wrap us and embrace us. You are our maker, our lover, our keeper. Teach us to believe that by your grace, all shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well. Please be seated.
The reading today comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 2. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper as his partner." So out of the ground the Lord God formed every animal of the field and every bird of the air, and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all cattle, to all the birds of the air, and to every animal of the field. But for the man, there was not found a helper as his partner. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. Then he took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. This one should be called woman, for out of man this one was taken. Therefore a man leaves his father and his mother and clings to his wife, and they become one flesh. Word of God, word of life.
The good news from Mark, the 10th chapter.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Some Pharisees came, and to test him they asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" He answered them, "What did Moses command you?" They said, "Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of dismissal and to divorce her." But Jesus said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, he wrote this commandment for you. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." Then in the house, the disciples asked him about the matter again. He said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." People were bringing little children to him in order that he might touch them. And the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them. For it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. The good news given for you. You may be seated. As we begin our reflection this morning on this very familiar creation story from Genesis, I invite you to do two things. First, let go of everything that you think you already know about what this story means. Just shake it out, let it go, set it aside. And second, take a moment to reflect on all of the people who have been helpers in your life. Who are those helpers? Did you have a mom who fed you for the first year of your life? Did your dad help take care of you when you were little by changing you out of your dirty diapers? Did you have a teacher who helped you learn how to read and write? Did you have a grandmother who helped take care of you when your parents were at work? Did you have a grandfather who helped you learn how to water ski? Did you have a doctor who helped you get better when you were ill? Did you have a friend who helped comfort you when you were brokenhearted? Did you have a guidance counselor who helped you decide where to go to college? Has a classmate ever helped you finish a homework project? Has a coach ever helped you learn how to run faster or jump higher or hit farther? Has God ever helped you get through a tough time in your life? If you are like me, as you reflect on all of the helpers that have influenced your life, You realize that most of them are people who are older than you and who are in some kind of position of authority. They are helpers who have special skills and talents, who love and care about you, and on whom you depend. In the Hebrew Bible, God is the one who is most often referred to as helper. In fact, the word that is used to describe God as helper throughout the Bible is the same word that is used in this Genesis creation story to describe the kind of being that the first lonely human needs. Unfortunately, for most of Christian history, this text has been read in such a way as to suggest that the first man needed a female helper to be his subservient and submissive wife and assistant of lesser status. This long-standing Christian interpretation of the story is simply wrong. A careful reading of the text in its original language of Hebrew simply does not support such an idea. So if this story is not about God creating woman as assistant to man, then what is it about? Some of you were here last Sunday, and you met my friend, pastor, and comedian Jane Voights. Jane's research focuses on illuminating the ways in which the Bible is a comedy, and therefore many of its stories are actually meant to make us laugh. Now, I didn't hear any of you laughing while Caroline was reading this story from Genesis this morning. But how many of you were secretly laughing silently in your minds and thinking to yourself, this story is hilarious? How many of you? Nobody? No one? All right. Well, interestingly enough, I was listening to a podcast this week of professors from Luther Seminary discussing this very passage. And on the podcast, the Old Testament professor, Rolf Jacobson, was trying very hard to convince the other two professors that this is one of the most funny stories in the entire Bible. So to bring out the comedy embedded in this story, I'm going to need your help. Before I describe your part, here is the setup to the story. Earlier in Genesis 2, God created the first human being out of the dust of the ground by breathing life into its nostrils. In the original Hebrew text, the person God created is not a dude named Adam. Instead, the correct translation would simply be earthling. So God created an earthling and put that earthling in a garden. But pretty quickly, God realized that it was not good that that earthling was alone. The problem of human loneliness is what prompts the next section of the story. So God is trying to solve the earthling's loneliness problem and decides that the earthling needs a partner. So to understand what happens next, I need your help. First, I need one volunteer to come up here and play the role of the earthling. Okay, come on up. We've got our earthling. You can stand right here, okay? And the rest of you, thank you. Tell me your name again.
Tenor.
Okay. The rest of you get to play the role of God in this story. So what's going to happen is your job is to think up birds and animals to create for this lonely earthling. Okay, because that's the first thing that God does in this story. So when you think of an animal or bird, raise your hand, and I'll bring a mic over to you. And describe your animal. For example, say, I, God, am going to create for you, earthling, a black and white striped animal with a mane and a long, hairy tail. And then I will ask you, earthling, is that the kind of partner you were looking for?
No.
So what would you call that animal?
A zebra.
A zebra. Excellent. So that's how we're going to proceed for a while, because God had to create every bird and every animal. That's what it says in the text. So we would be here all day if we did that, but we're just going to get a taste trying to help this lonely earthling by creating a partner for it. So who's got an animal to describe, or a bird? Anyone? Okay. Don't say the name of it. Just describe its characteristics. You can make it sound if you want.
It is bright red, has a beak and a top knot, and has a lovely song, which I don't know how to make.
Okay. Earthling, what do you think? Is that the kind of partner you were looking for? No. What name would you give to that bird? We might need your help on the name.
A cardinal.
A cardinal. Cardinal. Okay. But Earthling doesn't think that's quite what he's looking for. All right. Who's got another animal or bird? Okay.
Earthling, I have this perfect companion for you. It's fuzzy, and it has nice little whiskers and pointy ears, and it goes when it's happy, and it goes when it's mad. So it has a lot of the things that I know you as an earthling also feel.
Earthling, what do you think? Is that the kind of companion you're looking for? No? Okay, give it a name for us. A cat. Yes, okay. We've got a cat now in our world. What about another animal or bird for this lonely earthling? Look, this earthling is so lonely. Oh, okay, over here.
It's got a lot of colors and it repeats whatever you say.
What do you think, earthling? Is that what you're looking for? No? All right, let's give it a name. Parrot. Okay, we've got a parrot in our world now. But earthling is still lonely. Who has another idea? Anyone? Animal? Oh, okay, back up. Let's give it a try.
So it's four-legged and about this big with a curly tail and a squashed face. They're very friendly.
Does it make a sound?
No.
No, you just don't want to make the sound. What do you think, earthling? Is that what you're looking for? No. Okay, give it a name. Dog. All right, earthling is still lonely. Let's do one more. Who else has an idea? Okay.
I'm really big and fat, and I have gray, wrinkly skin, and I like to roll around in the mud.
What do you think, earthling? Is that what you're looking for? No. Okay, give it a name. Pig?
A hippo.
Okay. Well, you know what? Our poor earthling is still lonely. Nice try, God. You tried really hard with your collective imagination, earthling. We're going to try something else, okay? You can go sit down. Thanks for your help. Good job, earthling. So this process went on and on and on until God had created every kind of animal and every kind of bird. And so you can see God was experimenting a lot with a lot of different kinds of creatures to help alleviate the earthling's loneliness. But none of God's tries worked, as we saw today. So you can sense the humorous exasperation of both God and the earthling as the story continues. The earthling gave names to all the cattle and to the birds of the air and to every animal in the field. But for the earthling, there was not found a helper as a partner. So God tried and tried and tried, but none of God's creations were a true partner for the earthling. So finally, God gave up that approach to creating birds and animals and tried something entirely different. God put our earthling to sleep and reached into the earthling's side, and out of that material created a second earthling. Now, by the way, the Hebrew text actually says side, not rib. So that's a really kind of an incorrect translation that we have in our English Bibles. So finally, both God and the earthling are satisfied that human isolation has been alleviated through connection with another human being, one who is made of the same kind of flesh and bones as the first. So this story is not a scientific or historical account of what really happened as life evolved on the planet. It's not about God mandating that marriage only be between one man and one woman, for there are lots of interesting combinations of people that end up creating families in the rest of the Old Testament. It is not about gender roles or God ordaining that women should be assistants to men, but rather it is a humorous tale about the lengths that God has gone to ensure that human beings do not suffer from loneliness. God had to create every kind of bird of the air and every kind of animal of the field, and that is a lot of work, before God figured out how to create a suitable partner for the first earthling. So next time you hear this story read, you can laugh along, and we can rejoice at the good news of this message, that God has given us the gift of one another, fellow earthlings, created from stardust and spirit to share in this life together. We are intended to help one another through the trials and the challenges of life. We are challenged to invest wholeheartedly in relationships of mutuality and equality and respect. And we are called to be partners in caring for this garden called Earth. This vocation of relationship applies to our most intimate companions, our soulmates, as well as to our friends, our family, and fellow students, our church members, our coworkers, and everyone that we share this planet with. For we are all earthlings together, made up of the same stuff and filled with the same spirit of God. So today, if you are feeling like your life is enriched by all these relationships with your friends and family, soulmates and helpers, give thanks today to God for the gift of companionship and community. And if you come here today suffering from loneliness, hear the good news that God knows that being alone is not good and will continue to go to great lengths to help you transform, and perhaps with a little humor along the way if you are looking out for it, will transform your isolation into connection. Amen.
as Gustavus hosts the 51st Nobel Conference, we ask for your guidance in tackling the complex and immensely important topic of addiction. We pray that the lectures and discussions held this week will help all attendants proceed with greater understanding and compassion for those who have experienced addiction. We thank you for once again allowing us the opportunity to host our world's great minds and problem solvers here on campus. Lord of love, hear our prayer. Lord, at the close of our first month of this school year, we thank you for the community that has formed here on campus. We pray for this transitional time has gone smoothly for our students and faculty. For those who have had a difficult first month, we pray they find easier times in October. Continue to challenge and comfort us for the rest of the school year. Lord of love, hear our prayer. Lord, as flu season encroaches upon us, we ask you to guard the health of our student body. We ask you to protect those who are especially vulnerable to illness during this time. Thank you for all those who care for the sick and work to prevent the spread of disease. We pray that your children in our community and beyond have access to the health care they need. Lord of love, hear our prayer. Lord, we pray for the places in your world marred by chaos and violence. We continue to pray for the Syrian refugees who flee conflict and meet further resistance abroad. We pray for those who remain caught in the crossfires of war, including those in Syria and Afghanistan. For these and other struggles, we pray for your guidance. Lord of love, hear our prayer. The peace of God is with you all.
Stand. Life-giving God, may you bless our gifts and let them go forth from us to benefit all of your created children with wisdom, compassion, and imagination. Amen. People of God, people of life, we gather as a holy communion for a meal that has been shared countless times, in countless places, and in countless ways. The first time this meal was shared, Jesus gathered around a table with a ragged collection of people, outcasts, betrayers, the power-hungry, and fragile, lonely, lost. The first time this meal was celebrated, Jesus promised that it was for all time, that whenever the bread was broken and wine was poured, wherever the story was told around a table, he would be there. Today, as we remember the story, as it's been told 1,000 times over, we eat the bread and we drink the wine and we affirm that we all belong at this table and that Jesus is here. So if we come to this table angry, let this bread and wine be our peace. If we come to this table broken, let this bread and wine be our grace. And if we come to the table betrayed, let this bread and wine be our wholeness. If we come to the table in despair, let this bread and wine be our life. For this is a holy table with food to fill a hungry world and wine to quench thirsty hearts. Thanks be to God. With his friends, he took bread, and after having blessed it, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Each time you do this, remember me." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, passed it to his friends, saying, "Drink. This cup poured out for you is the promise of God. Whenever you drink it, remember me." We remember Jesus' death and resurrection, our hope and our life. We break the bread and share one cup. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Here at Gustavus, we practice open communion, which means that wherever you are in your journey with God, you are welcome to share in this meal with us. We have a gluten-free option, so if you would like that, please let your server know. And we also have grape juice and wine in each chalice. So the grape juice is the lighter color material. And we practice communion by intinction, so after you receive the bread, please dip it into either the wine or the grape juice. Wherever you are in your journey with God, please know that you are welcome to share in this meal of grace. Please come. You may. Thank you.
Beloved of God, go now into the vast universe to be the people of God. Resist temptations that lead to destruction. We'll create more beauty. Resist temptations that lead to isolation. We'll reach out more into the world in need. Resist temptations based on false promises. Rest in the hope of God. Love creation. And in all these things, let the Spirit of Christ fill and inspire all your deeds as you seek to be a faithful part of Christ's reconciling ministry.
That will be on campus this week. A reminder that we do have Daily Sabbath tomorrow. Nobel Conference Director Peg O'Connor will be our speaker. And then on Tuesday and Wednesday, we do not have Daily Sabbath because of Nobel, and we encourage you all to attend the conference this year. Also, next Sunday will be Family Weekend Worship here in Christ Chapel. So if your families are down, please bring them. It's always a big festive service with the Lucia Singers leading us in song, as well as a number of other musicians and student leaders. You are all welcome to stay afterwards. We have some treats and coffee in the back, so if you'd like to stay and mingle and chat, please know that you're welcome to do that. People of God, people of life, go in peace to love and to serve. Thanks be to God. Amen.